For those of you that I haven't met yet, my name is Chris Beauchamp, and I'll be your host on today's webinar. And if you are new to these webinars and perhaps the Institute for Generative Leadership, just want to say glad you're here. And we want to give you a little background too to the Institute and the webinars. It was about 35-ish years ago, our founder, Bob Dunham, discovered a lot of the many missing skills that were needed for teams and in leadership. And it was from what he observed and learned that he decided, you know, I'm going to create my own organization, and that is the Institute for Generative Leadership. And he did so to really support you all as really ambitious professionals to learn and develop advanced coaching and leadership skills. And these are the skills that are practiced by some of the most successful coaches and leaders in the world. Most of you, I would say, on this particular webinar might be coaches. You're committed to growing your coaching practices, but we do have some leaders here on this particular webinar, and you know, you're in a leadership function, you're charged with helping grow sales, you might even be the CEO, as I know a couple of you are, of your respective organizations. These conversations are going to be absolutely critical, both for you but also your teams. So in either case, this commitment, it's going to require a different stance in coaching and in leadership, one in which we treat both really as true professions, and this includes managers. Generative leadership for us is really about applied learning in action, not just a one-time opportunity, but looking at this as a practice. These webinars are really a way for you to engage with the Institute in new conversations to develop your skills both as a coach and as a leader, and also to produce a competitive advantage for you. Today, Bruce Sherman, he's a co-founder and really a consultant for Altus Growth Partners. He's also one of our senior generative leadership program students, participants. He's going to be walking us through what we really need to be paying attention to in this business development world that has become really uber competitive. It's both paying attention to both yourself, but also the other person sitting across from you. Bruce, he's worked with over 120 CEOs and their teams to generate very specific measurable outcomes in the domains of leadership performance and business development. All right, so a little logistics for everyone, since this is now a webinar, and it's been for a little while, but if you were previously used to us on with the calls, you have an opportunity to participate in different ways. In the upper left-hand corner of your screen, you should see a few options, a chat button, a button to raise your hand, and last for Q&A. If you need any support throughout the webinar, or if you have any comments that are intended to be private, please use the chat in this webinar. But if you have some questions or maybe some comments that you feel would be appropriate for the group as a whole, please put that into the Q&A, because we'd like to share that with you. And we have a lot of folks that signed up for this webinar. So when you have your questions, we'll do our best to get to all of your questions and comments, taking them in the order that they arrive. And on that note, we really invite you to participate actively. I think the real value in this is when you do that, you get your questions, you get to further your learning. So whatever the reason is for joining us on the webinar today, a question for you is, what are you going to practice with what you've learned today? What we've noticed is that the most powerful coaches and leaders engage in practices of learning, generative practices that are observable, learnable, and executable. What you hear today is relevant for your future and what you want to have, if you want to have a conversation about it, rather, with us, I'll leave you my contact information in the chat to schedule a time with me, and you can also share your information with me in the chat. Just an alternative, if you want to have some other ways to engage with us and kind of explore this whole coaching and leadership path, we actually offer a complimentary coaching assessment as well as a complimentary leadership assessment. I'll share a link to that here in just a minute. And it's just an opportunity to uncover areas for you to further your leadership development. Let's go ahead and bring it over to the reason why you joined this webinar. And I'd like to welcome Bruce to the webinar today. Bruce, welcome.
Thank you very much, Chris. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Thank you.
Okay, good. Hello, everybody. Hello to a lot of friends that I know are on this call. I appreciate you all spending some time together this morning. I think it's morning for pretty much where most of you are. I want to again say thank you to Chris for kicking this off. I would like to express my thanks to Bob Dunham, who I'm extremely grateful for having known for probably 35 years. and providing this opportunity and making a huge impact and difference in my life. So the topic today is about selling. And I have been involved in sales since the early 80s when I got out of school. And as strange as this might sound, I actually enjoy selling. And the reason that I enjoy selling is because I view it as a way to help people, as a way to be of service. And when I look at the title that we chose, frankly, for this webinar, I would have actually preferred a different title. I'm the one who picked it, so I'm not blaming anybody. But what it does set the stage for is it says getting your offers accepted, and that puts the seller and the agenda of the seller at the forefront of the conversation. And that's actually not what we're going to be doing. We're going to be talking about something called client centricity. And client centricity is not about getting your offer accepted. It's about helping your client to achieve the outcomes that they are committed to doing. So I wanted to just, thinking about my remarks and what I was going to say, that title just popped out at me, and I thought, okay, well, that's a good way to start by saying that what we're not here to do is foist or push our agenda on anybody. When you do that, that's probably why sales has so many negative connotations and is viewed typically as not being the most dignified of professions. But we're gonna get into that a little bit more. So just a little bit more about me. As I said, I've been involved in work with the generative leadership community and way before that with Fernando Flores since the early 80s. And I have found that the combination of this powerful information, these powerful concepts that are available through the work that we do, combined with practical, pragmatic business experience, has been an awesome combination that has literally turbocharged my success and the people that I've worked with. I would also say that everyone needs to be competent in selling. And today is going to be focused primarily for those people who are involved in sales. But if you're a leader, or anyone in any company, the behaviors and the skills that we're going to be talking about around selling are relevant and important. Everybody needs to be involved in sales. So in the next 30 minutes or so, I'm going to be sharing as much as I can about sales and how to add value to those that you come in contact with. The format of a webinar is actually not really great for dialogue, as you know. So please feel free to ask questions to Chris, and he'll relay those to me. I've done my best to try and anticipate what I think might be valuable to you. But in real life, I would not lead with a presentation. I would lead with asking questions to people so that I could understand and listen to what it was that they wanted to accomplish. But we don't have the luxury of doing that right now. So I'm going to pack this time with as much information and hopefully as many takeaways as I can to have this be valuable and meaningful to you. So having said that, I'm going to share my screen. And I'm going to put this on. Okay, just a second. Presentation mode, which is right there. And hopefully everybody can see what I see. Chris, did I do that correctly so far?
Yeah, good.
Amazing. Okay, so let's just jump right in let's see. So what is sales? Here's a definition that I think in my experience and from what I've learned, it has a little bit of jargon in there, but I'm gonna spend a few minutes explaining what we mean by this. So sales is about helping people. to clarify, to get clear about what they care about, and then co-designing what we call the conditions of satisfaction, which means, you know, those things that they are that are important to them specifically, that would enable them to attain the future that they care about. So sales is a mutual commitment or a mutual promise between a customer and a seller. It's an exchange, and that's that definition is what we're going to be diving into as we move through this presentation. And I'm going to take this apart, and I'm going to explain to you as best as I can, you know, how to put this into action. And again, if you're somebody whose role it is to sell, this is probably going to be extremely relevant and germane. But if you are a leader in a firm or in a company, the listening and the behaviors that are important for sales are every bit as important when it comes to having your and having you be able to add value to your organization. So what I did was I made a list here of what I thought would be some relevant topics and to include in this conversation, and I'm going to just share with you what they are, and hopefully by the time we get to the end, I will have addressed these. But again, feel free to ask questions, and if you would like for me to get into greater depth, I'm happy to do so. So the first one is, you know, where do I find prospects? How do I begin the sales conversation? We get asked that a lot. How do I sell larger assignments? What questions should I ask in order to evoke and listen as well as I can to what's most important to the people that I'm engaged with? What's a good client for me? I mean, obviously there are going to be some people that are going to be better, more advantageous for you to work with. So how do you decide that? What's a good client? What about trust? You know, trust is the foundation of any relationship. And how do I purposefully build trust? What do I need to do? How do I need to show up? How do I need to be? What does my body, you know, have to do with building trust in my presence? How does what I say and the way that I say it build trust? How do I increase my batting average? How do I, you know, it's expensive and it's time consuming to be engaged in these exploratory conversations around sales with people and prospects. You know, how do I get better at it? How do I increase my percentage of winning opportunities? And as I said, so, you know, what is my presence? What is my, how I show up physically, emotionally? How does that impact the way people kind of perceive me and my ability to be effective in generating new clients? And then finally, what do I listen for? Like, what's important? You know, when is it time, you know, in order for me to make, quote unquote, the offer? And these are some topics that as I said, that we're asked a lot. I've been asked these questions a lot, so I'm going to build my talking and my conversation around trying to address these on your behalf. Yeah. If there are others that you know that are coming to mind as I'm building sharing this list with you, please go ahead and ask Chris to add those to the conversation that we're having this morning.
Just on that note, quickly, Bruce. Yeah, yeah. Q&A for those of you just joining in the upper left-hand corner. Just click on that and type your questions there. And if these are kind of covering it, type in there into the chat and tell us which questions probably or which question actually resonates most with you.
Perfect. Thank you, Chris. And then feel free, Chris, to just interrupt me and you know, feed the questions through as we go through this, please. So did you have one? Sorry.
No, actually, okay. Well, just the one is, you know, how do you sell larger assignments?
Okay. Well,
far, so I'll keep on feeding them in a little bit later.
We're going to talk about that. Okay, great. So the other thing that we thought it would be interesting to talk about are some of the common myths about selling. And there's a long list of things that people kind of think about when they think about sales, but I thought maybe it would be a good idea to just kind of address some of these before we dig into some of the tools and some of the behaviors that we're going to be addressing as we go through. So here are the ones that we hear the most frequently. And the first one, and they're not in any particular order, but there's one myth that I think is very pervasive, which is that in order to be a good salesperson, you need to be extroverted. Which the data and the research shows that that's actually not the case. That introverts, believe it or not, are the ones who are typically bestsellers. There's an awesome book that's been out and it's still available called Quiet, if you haven't read it. And in there, it talks about why people that are more introverted actually are better, or usually are more successful than those that are extroverted. And the reason is because introverts typically are more facile and comfortable in listening. And as we'll talk about, listening is probably the most important skill that you can have as a not only as a business developer, but also in my view as a leader or a partner in a relationship or whatever. So you don't need to be an extrovert in order to be good at this. Related to that is that the best sellers are not typically the best talkers. Again, it's very much related to if it's about the person that you're meeting with, and it's about helping them to identify ways to have the future that they want and to provide great value, it's not going to happen through a lot of talking, at least not at the beginning of the conversation. And people, I think, go out to meet with prospects and they think that they need to be extremely well-armed and have a very good elevator pitch and have a very slick, set of talking points. And oftentimes those that already way of being prepared, if you will, can kind of slow down your progress or potentially kind of get in the way of your really being able to listen. Again, the language of sales is very much about making pitches and about planning those pitches in advance, as I said. And we are going to, I think, show you that having a pitch it's like making a really lucky kind of guess as to what's going to be successful. We're not really big fans of very well-developed pitches, which, by the way, also kind of paralyzes people from taking action in sales. And we're going to talk about that as we go through. The other one is that sales is about convincing people. Sales is about manipulating people. Sales is about convincing people to purchase things or to get involved in things that they may not have thought about or that they don't necessarily even need. And that's the furthest thing from what successful salespeople do. Successful salespeople are actually co-designing, as I said in the definition earlier, a future that's adaptive, actually, with the needs of the person that they're speaking with. So being pushy and manipulative is not what this is not what it's about. And then finally, you've heard probably that it's all a numbers game. And I'm going to share some statistics with you that will show you that it definitely doesn't happen the first time that you meet somebody, but there's a lot more to being a competent and effective a client developer or salesperson than it is about just like how many times you show up and pure work hard persistence. So that's actually not what's going to be the most important behavior and approach. So those are some of the more common ones. As I said, there's probably a list of others, but I share this with you so that if you've believed some of these things, that you might want to reflect on that these may not be true if they're part of your background in terms of how you approach selling.
Bruce, I have a couple of questions too.
Yeah, sure. Please, yeah, let's go.
So from Bruce Peterson, he has a couple of questions. And Bruce Peterson, I'll ask you to clarify the second one. But the first is, what is the best way to lead off a conversation?
Okay.
There's another one here, but start with that.
I'm gonna get to that, Bruce. It's a part of where we're going. But to just answer that for right now, simply, the best way to start out a conversation is to ask the person that you're meeting with, what is it that they want to accomplish? Why are they interested in meeting with you? I start as fast as I can with putting my focus on what is it that would be of value to the person that I'm speaking with. So that is the fastest way I've found to be relevant.
Excellent.
What's the other question, Chris?
Well, he has another. And Bruce, if you would, in your chat, in your own chat, if you wouldn't mind, just kind of explain your question. I wasn't quite sure, and I'll connect with you here on the side. Barbara has a question. How does my presence impact my success, and what do I listen for?
Yeah, that's perfect. So, Barbara, thank you again. That is we are going to get into that in just a little further into this. So I won't repeat it now, but we're going to talk about presence, and we're going to talk. I'll provide you with questions that I think will help you to see exactly what you need to listen for, and what to listen, so that will then enable you to speak in a way that's going to be most compelling and most relevant. Good speaking follows good listening. It's not the other way around. So that's hopefully one of the big takeaways that you'll get out of this conversation today is that the best talkers, are the best listeners, and we'll get to that. But thank you very much for your question. Okay, so let me share with you some data that I think when I saw this was kind of enlightening to me. It's a bit of a long list, but let me give you some statistics that I think will help you to understand this game called selling. So 48% of people never follow up with a prospect. That means they have one conversation and they never talk to that person again. 25% make a second contact and then they stop. 12% of people that are involved in client development and sales make three contacts and they stop. 75% of people quit between the first and the third attempt at trying to build a relationship with someone. 10% make more than three contacts. 2% of sales are made on the first contact. So if you're somebody who has tried it once and did not succeed and then decided that this was the wrong game for you, this should make you feel a little bit better. 3% of sales are made on the second contact. 5% are made on the third contact. 10% are made on the fourth contact. 80% are made between 5 and 12 times after you've begun speaking to somebody. So I'm not sure that how that lands with you, but I think for me, when I saw this list, it really made me relax and see that building relationships takes time and that there's nothing wrong with me and that I'm not a failure if the first or second time that I have a conversation with somebody, I'm not, signing a contract. It doesn't work like that. So I wanted to just share this with you so that you can have some broader kind of context and understanding of what the data says. So the next thing that I thought I would speak about with you are the skills. And ideally, what I would normally do is I wouldn't normally talk about skills until we were more clear about the outcomes that our client was trying to achieve. But I think given that this is the this is how the webinar really works, I want to provide for you a list. It's a long list. There are 10 skills that are very, very important in terms of being effective in selling. And I'm going to quickly kind of go through those with you so that you can begin to not get overwhelmed, but begin to build the muscle and the competence in order to continue to improve in each one of these. Some of these you're probably already, you know, pretty good at, you may be very familiar with. Others you may feel that you have more to learn, and there's ways to assess yourself in each one of these various skills. But the most masterful and the top people that I know that are the most successful, these are the competencies, these are the skills and the behaviors that they're very proficient in. So I'm going to go ahead and just spend some time on this next slide, and we can answer questions as we get a little further into this. But the first one is listening. And if there's one skill that I think you should spend the most time on, it's about being curious. And it's about, as I said earlier, having your attention on the prospect. What I fortunately somehow learned how to do at a very young age was to be extremely curious about what's important to people. And that has served me extremely well. I don't go in with an agenda. I don't go in with a strong point of view. I don't go in, as I said, with a pitch when I'm going to go meet somebody. I am 100% focused on what do they care about and what is going to satisfy them and what is going to be valuable to them. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't need to say anything. You just can't show up and start listening. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, about what you need to say in order to set the stage, which is actually the next point here. You do need to set a context set the stage for the conversation that you're going to be having in a way that is relevant to your client or to your prospect, rather. So learning how to in a relevant way to describe what you're there to accomplish together is an extremely important behavior. How does your body and your presence impact your ability to sell? It has a tremendous amount to do with how you sell. And I wrote the word patience here because what happens is there's this pressure that we feel to perform and to provide value. And one of the earliest exercises that a coach gave me when I started many years ago, he said, what I want you to do is I want you to practice when you're interacting with people, not saying anything and not doing anything and seeing what shows up. And it was excruciating. It was very, very hard for me to do that. But what happened was when I would actually just stand there or sit there and wait to see what would happen, I saw how much easier it was for me to be able to understand, you know, what I should do next. So our body, and I'm going to talk more in a few minutes about, you know, how specifically your body impacts your ability to perform, but it's a hugely important. If you have a body that is in a forward, ready to go, let's move, I want to present something important to you type of an approach, that's not good for listening. So we're going to talk about, you know, how to be open and how to be receptive, and when it's time to do that, and when it's time to actually to move forward and to be more compelling and to make an offer. So the body and your presence is hugely important. There was a book that was written a few years ago called Give and Take. I don't know if any of you have seen it. I love the book. And it talks about that the best sellers are givers, that they're not in a scarcity conversation about trying to hoard their information and having a quid pro quo about everything that they do. They're literally out trying to be helpful and establishing a reputation and an identity as somebody that is very, very much in a giver type of a mode. And if you're going to be successful, and there's tons of data to prove this, You need to be somebody who is giving, not to the degree where it is detrimental to you, but where you are actually out there not looking for a return, not looking for an outcome, but truly trying to be helpful to people. This next one is called co-design. We spend a lot of time with our clients and our prospects making sure that before we make an offer, that we already know that the offer is going to be accepted, that we have a conversation around, which I'm going to describe a little bit in a little later, about what are the conditions of satisfaction, what would be valuable over what time frame. We craft this together. We craft the way to the future and the way to achieve the outcomes with our prospect and with our client. So by the time we decide whether or not we even want to make an offer, there's a very, very strong chance that the offer will be accepted, because we're not sitting on a rock somewhere figuring this out by ourselves. We've done it in a back and forth co-design with our prospect. Again, I can't really see you, so hopefully this is landing. I'm going to assume that it is. I'm sorry, Chris, should I stop, take a break? Talking too much?
That's right. No, actually, I'll just invite everyone at this point here just to, type, hey, going well. Again, if you have any questions, comments on what Bruce is sharing so far. But yeah, we have a number of questions. We'll take that when you're ready, Bruce.
Okay. So let me just kind of finish this one page. I'm almost done. There are 10, and that's a long list. But I tried to shorten it, but I really, as I was making this list, I thought these are all really important. And I wanted to get them out. And again, you don't need to be a master at all of these at once, but these are all important moves, MOVES, in terms of how the most successful salespeople and frankly, everything that I've said so far here applies to being a leader. Leaders need to listen. Leaders need to set the stage. Leaders that need to have a presence. Leaders need to be patient. Leaders, all of this stuff that's listed here and that is listed are 100% relevant and important as a leader. The next one is listening for breakdowns and identifying breakdowns. Breakdowns doesn't mean nervous breakdown. Breakdown, the way we define this, means that there's something that I care about that is not happening, and I'm not sure that I know how to get myself back on track. So we need to get good at listening for what's not working and what's missing for people. And that's what we mean by breakdowns. A lot more that I can say about any of these, but I'm just giving you kind of a high level 30,000 foot definition. Another skill or behavior that's extremely important is to focus on short and longer term outcomes. And take a longer term approach to what would be valuable to the person that you're speaking with. And later, we're going to give you some examples about how do you measure and demonstrate what value your offer is, so that the prospect or client can get a sense of how much of a priority this is and how important that it is. But we want to get really good at being outcomes focused rather than what we would call transactional, more transaction focused. So take a more of a important view of what's important rather than what's necessarily urgent. And that doesn't mean ignore what's urgent, but really where you add value is looking longer down the road at what's going to really be meaningful and measurable to your prospects. Then, if for those of you who have been around, the work of the generative leadership, you're familiar with what's called a conversation for action. And as I said in my definition earlier, sales is a mutual promise. Sales is an exchange. If you don't know how to make a promise, you're really not going to have a trustworthy sale. So how you get to a promise is your effectiveness at making requests that are and offers that are clear and specific and compelling and doable and have a time and are specific. The conversation for action is really how you, once you've identified the care, how your prospect will move to take care of what it is that they care about. So this is extremely important, skill, and all the way through, actually, from how you set up meetings in the first place, and how you follow up, and then once you become engaged, how effectively or not you satisfy the client by keeping the promise, which is the sale that you make. And then number nine is connected to how we build trust. And it's another term that is an important one in the language of generative leadership. And we call it how to ground your assessment, which means how to provide data and evidence to support what it is that you're saying. So if you want somebody to trust you, which I'm sure that you do, there's a way to speak that will have the listener have confidence in what it is that you're saying. And so to just go ahead and make an offer, like, have I got a deal for you, in sales vernacular, the question by the listener is, well, you know, I need more information than that. Why should I believe you? So instead of waiting for somebody to ask, you know, what your, you know, what, why they should trust you, you learn how to speak in a way that provides evidence and grounding for what it is that you're saying in terms of how you can help and how you're going to be able to keep your promises. So this is a super important skill in sales. And then lastly, we talk about the importance of moods and emotions, and how listening for the mood, listening for how what you're saying is landing when you're speaking, listening for, is there an openness? Listening, is there an ambition? Listening, is there cynicism? Is there skepticism? Is there trust? We need to get very, very skillful in terms of how we listen for moods, and then how we kind of set the context and or set the stage to where people are engaged and open and interested in participating with you. So extremely important to be competent in this area of moods and emotions. So those are a list of 10 skills, and we offer those to you because these are the moves that constitute a really strong client developer or salesperson. So if everybody's still awake, I'm going to go ahead and move to the next slide and talk with you more about a process. Let's get, you know, we've talked a lot of philosophy and a lot of, some of the beliefs and some of the myths and all that kind of stuff and definitions. Now let's get into something that would probably be more of the meat of it and give you some tools that we found to be extremely helpful. And the first one is what we use, what I'm going to share with you right now is at Altus Growth Partners, which is the firm that I'm a part of. We have a highly effective approach to generating clients. Our batting average is very high. And it's because we invest quite a bit of time before we decide to make an offer in being helpful to our clients and to understanding, as I said earlier, what outcomes and what value are going to be most important. So we have literally a multi-step process that I'd like to just walk through with you, and then we can, you know, take your questions. So the first step in this process, and I want to give credit to one of my partners, Kova Bogart, who is on the call, and he developed much of this process, and it's powerful and it's effective. And at the same time, what I want to say is that these are tools, and the tools are only as good as the people who use them. So what was on the slide previous to this one around the behaviors are all important in order to be able to use the tools. So But you need both. So the first conversation that we have with a prospect is what we call a talking document. And the talking document is one in which we do a lot of listening. And I'm going to share with you in a moment, you know, what are the questions that we ask that enable us to do the listening, but it's a way that we can actually write down what we've heard so that we can confirm that we've listened well. The next conversation is where we go back to our prospect after we, in the first conversation, we say, we'd like to come back and we'd like to share with you what we've heard and confirm what we've heard and have a conversation that gets more into what would be valuable and how do we measure value. So we come back a second time and we dive more deeply into what would be a value and how would we measure it. The third conversation, oftentimes, and again, this is not exactly every single time, but this is generally how it works, is we begin to describe, you know, one or two or three different scenarios around what we are talking about, what we might offer, what might help the prospect to get to the future that it is that they want. And then we will come back once we've done that with some more specific options in the form of a proposal. And then what we'll do is we will actually confirm and clarify what's in the proposal, which is pricing and things like that. And then we'll put together a letter of agreement. So as you can see here, I mean, here's like six conversations could be before we make a sale. Actually, and five of these are typically before we even make an offer. So that's our process, and it's one that is very well suited to the work that we do, and perhaps it could be relevant for you as well. So some questions that are actually in the talking document. I've got a couple of slides here, and by the way, we'll share all this with you so that you can have all this information. I know that Chris is going to send it out, and Natalie. So that you'll have this, but in the actual, I want to just spend a couple of minutes on the talking document. I see that I'm trying to probably overly ambitious for how much information that we have today. So I'm going to go a little bit faster right now, but in the talking document, we talk about the purpose and an example of a purpose. So from one of our clients, just to give you some flavor, one client that we have right now's purpose was to reshape the executive team so that they can transition the company from a services business to a technology platform and achieve a 30% market share over 5 years. That's an example of what we mean by a purpose. Then what we do is we begin to ask questions about issues, concerns, and opportunities for success. We inquire around outcomes, both long-term and short-term specific outcomes. For example, one would be to develop enough leaders to drive the growth agenda of the business would be an outcome in X number of years. Then we talk about value and value, an example of value in one of our clients could be, we have a concern about retaining talent, retaining leaders, and that we have determined that the cost of when we lose one of our key leaders is 10 times their annual salary. And so we can do the math and we can kind of figure out like, why is this important to the business that we get this right? And then what we also do is, you know, we will also, as I said, sometimes in this first meeting, we may describe a very, very high level process around, what we might do. So some more specific questions that you'll get when we send this to you that I like. The first one was somebody asked me earlier today. Someone said, you know, like, how do you start? And so that's what I said earlier is you know, what are you hoping to accomplish, you know, during our meeting today? It's just, to me, that just goes right to it. Why did you want to meet with me? You know, I want to know, like, what do they want to get out of this? And I want to know that early so that I'm not starting to speak down some road that's not going to be a value. So I just always like to start conversations with that. And then listed here, which I'm not going to read them to you right now, but you can see on your screen, these are some really good questions. And the second one that I've highlighted is, the question about why does this matter? Most people don't ask that question. They just become like, so tell me what you want to do. Tell me, you know what you've thought about. Tell me, you know, give me some, you know, some real, let's get specific, but they don't really say, so why, how, you know, like, how's this meaningful for you? And that's a key question. So now I will very quickly talk about what I said that I would earlier about the body. And there's one way of viewing this where there are five basic body postures that relate to sales. The first one is, and I'm gonna share them with you in an order just to have this make sense. The first one is called neutral, and neutral is a body posture where you're basically ready for anything. You're in a centered type of a body posture, and this can be sitting or standing, where you walk in and it's almost like putting your car in neutral, because you don't know whether you know where you're going to go, but you want to be ready for what's going to happen. So that's a good place to start. The second one to the right would be is a listening posture, and it shows the picture. The icon is standing, but what it really is you sit back and you're open, and you get your body into a receptive posture where you're saying, you know, I'm here today and I'm really interested in learning and understanding, you know, what's important to you. And I have some questions, and, you know, if it's okay, I'd like to learn about what's going to be valuable, blah, blah, blah. So you move into this open and receptive. And many times people will come in what's called a purposeful type of a mode, because they think that they need to perform, and their body is sitting very forward. And I've been with people who do this, and you can see that in your face kind of non-listening posture is not conducive to listening. They're in a ready to go mode, and that's not really helpful in terms of when you want to listen. It's important. So receptive is back and open. The third one is called reflective. And that's where you actually need, where you're saying, okay, let's take a few minutes and let's think about what's happening here. Let's just be reflective about this discussion. And then if it's appropriate, you can then move into this forward posture and say, okay, having now thought about this, talked about this, I've got some energy. I have some interest in making a suggestion or moving us to the next level. And you need to do that with a certain amount of passion and a certain amount of excitement. Because otherwise, if you said something like, you know, this is the most important thing that I've ever heard in my whole life, and I'm so excited about this, it doesn't really make any sense. So this is how, you know, where your body needs to move into a ready to go, engage type of way. And then finally, the last one is really around, you know, when it's time to make a promise that you need to ground yourself and you need to say, okay, let's talk about what we're going to do next. So lastly, I'm going to say one more thing, because I want to have a little bit of time and for some questions. And I was a little overly ambitious about what's here, but you'll get a couple of other slides. But I want to talk real quickly about what's called a network of help, which was the first one of the questions that I listed about that you might want to be interested in. And that is how do you develop leads? How do you develop people, you know, to play with, so to speak? And we call it a network of help. And a network of help is where are people in your life who know you, who trust you, who share your values for doing business, who, when you call them, they will call you back. They could be past clients, colleagues, friends, associates, but they're people that you have a very trusted relationship with, and that these people are willing to help you and want to help you and have helped you. And so what the best salespeople, the best client developers that we know have typically somewhere around 15 to 20 of these types of relationships. And the way that you start these relationships is by giving, is by trying to understand what would be helpful to these people, and then being consistently and having a plan to be of consistent value to them. And most people, only have a very small handful. So this is where, over the course of my career and over the course of the people that I know that are fairly competent at this, they spend their time building what's called a network of help, and that's where 80% typically of their business comes from. You can start out by, there's a slide here about making a list of, you know, who are the people that fit that definition and beginning to cultivate and then decide, you know, how abundant your network of help is. One other slide, the last slide that's in here is one where you can actually, this is an example, but this is a list of qualified prospects, a way to qualify whether or not people who you may be wanting to do business with, whether or not they fit, and which will then increase your chances of success. I think I'm out of time. Chris, why don't I just start here and just see if there's some questions. And I know I've probably went over my talking time.
You packed it in for sure, my friend.
I packed it in, man.
You did.
Pack it in. So.
No, absolutely. So how about this? Let's take one or two questions, see how we do. And
is anybody still left on the call, do you think?
Point? I think a good majority of the folks are on the call. And if you have asked a question, please, if you can, stay on the line. We'll make sure to answer your questions. But Bruce and I will stay on as long as we can after the hour to make sure we answer all the questions. If you feel like you've had your question answered by what Bruce has actually shared here in these last few slides, go ahead and type that in the chat, say question answered like Bruce Peterson did. Thank you for sharing that. But let's go to Barbara real quick, going back to her question. How does my presence impact my success and what do I listen for? I don't know if she felt like she had that answered, but maybe you can touch on that real quickly, Bruce.
Well, I would love to ask her, but I think that we did touch on, you know, what do you listen for? I think that there's a lot of those questions is the answer to what do you listen for? And the presence really there's presence called how do you look, and then there's presence called how are you, like how do you be, and I think that they're both really really important because they both they can both be helpful. So it's hard to do this obviously without normally if we were coaching somebody we could kind of coach them on their physical presence. But the part that I can speak about right now is that being present in your body, being centered, breathing, being open, having your full attention on the person that you're speaking with is extremely important in terms of not just listening to what they say, but also, you know, listening to what they care about. Again, as we said very early, client-centric selling is about putting your 100% focus on the person that you're looking to engage with. So that's my answer, Chris. What else?
Thank you. Yeah, I'll take one more and then I'll kind of wrap up and then we'll take the other questions. Again, we still have, I think, four other folks that have asked some questions. So thank you very much. We'll go to Tivo right now. And I think, again, you kind of already touched on this a little bit, but what are the indicators that you embody the value of your offer?
Well, I think the indicators are that you, okay, let me make sure I would like to clarify that question, that you embody, say it to me again, embody.
What are the indicators that you embody the value of your offer?
I'm not really sure, Chris, exactly what that means, to tell you the truth.
Tivo, if you want to chime in, type into the chat, say you can join the, I can promote you to the video and you can ask the question with Bruce. I think it's essentially, if I understand Tivo right, it's really what shows up. And actually, I take it back. He's actually moved on. He actually wasn't able to stay on for the rest of the
webinar.
So,
all right, that's good. I didn't understand
that. So, but I tell you what, let's go ahead and for those of you that are still on the webinar, please just type into the chat and let me know if you can stay on. If you had your questions, like Tad, Deborah, Angela. If you can stay on, I'd love to answer your questions here. If you can stay on, and Bruce will stay on as well with me. And I'll just, Bruce has here just a little bit about his firm here too. So if what you found today was pretty really valuable, I know I do, and Bruce has actually coached me himself, invite you to connect with him. His information's up there. Altusgrowth.com is his website. Be Sherman at altusgrowth.com. He has quite a wealth of experience and definitely could lend a lot of value to any of the clients that you might be working with, or if you work, you know, in your own organization, how you want to really build business skills. I know that's not necessarily their focus, but feel free to reach out to Bruce here. And on that note, if you found, again, if you found value in today's webinar, these skills that Bruce is talking about, they may be actually somewhat simple to learn, but they're definitely not trivial. And there's a lot of distinctions within a lot of these skills that one needs to learn and really practice. And that's kind of our stance in generative leadership. As many of you on this webinar know, you've been through our work, you've been in our work, our workshops, and even some of our extended programs. You get really understand the value of practice when you start to see it in application. So that being said, when we look at, for example, listening and context, body, co-design, Bruce talked about the outcomes and value, the conversation for action. Those are a lot of things that we're walking you through just in our fundamentals, our foundations of generative leadership workshop. So again, if you find this of value, type into the chat, just say, hey, this has been helpful. And, you know, like, let me know if you'd like to learn more. We have some other opportunities as well for you. But the foundations of generative leadership workshop that I referenced, we have one coming up in Mill Valley, California, north of San Francisco. That's going to be April 19th through the 22nd. And then we won't have another foundations until October, but that will be October 4th through the 6th in Boulder, Colorado. So go on and if that's something that would provoke some curiosity for you, you're looking at ways you can develop your leadership and maybe even your business development skills, type into the chat and just say, let me know. And I'll be happy to connect with you offline. I'll put my email address here into the chat as well. And then if we're also doing some local live events and currently doing it in the Bay Area, the DC area, as well as Boston. But if what you found here again is valuable, we're doing these live local events, complimentary events, where we have some of our community to actually help with some of these conversations. And there's other conversations to connect it to developing coaching skills as well as leadership skills. So just type in, again, if you haven't already, what city and state you're in, and let me know if that would be of interest to you as well. We can also get you connected with some folks. So I'll leave it at that. I think that's good. I'm going to go ahead and post a link here for the Foundations Workshop. And again, let us know if you have any other questions. I want to thank everybody for joining here. And if I may, then let's go on and continue on here with some of the other questions. And I think if Deborah is, let me just see if I still have Deborah here on the line. I do. That's fantastic. Let me just see if I can go back to, she just has a couple minutes here, so we'll try to answer her question here if I can get back to that. All right, so from Deborah, she asked Bruce, how would you start a conversation where you have asked for the meeting and they are meeting with you because they know you and are happy to hear what you are up to?
Mm-hmm. So that's an awesome opportunity that, you know, to start with someone who knows you and I would assume has trust in you. But I would start the meeting by asking questions about the future that they are looking to achieve. I would ask the questions that were on one of the earlier slides. Let me just go back there real quick, if you can still see my screen. You know, what outcomes are you committed to achieve over the near and longer term? You know, what's important to you about that? What's most important about that? You know, again, why is this important to you? What concerns do you have regarding the achievement of these future goals? What's threatening? You know, what are the threats? What opportunities do you see? What's already been committed to that you have that you're already working on? We said breakdowns, what's working or what's not working? What capabilities would you expect, or what do you, if you were going to work with somebody, what kind of a provider or what would you want from the type of person that you're going to be working with? These are all the same, you know, I think really important questions that you can ask. It's just putting your focus on the other and helping them to get clear about how they're going to get to the future that they want. And I would just add that oftentimes people are not clear about what it is that they care about. I sure wasn't when that question has been asked to me. And it's very helpful to have somebody to help you to clarify, you know, what that is. And that, by the way, is adding value right away. So I'd like to just give you one quick example. We We're successful in selling a very large project, a consulting engagement, to a CEO of a multi-billion dollar company. And that CEO never asked one question about our capabilities, our background, our experience, our track record, or anything. There was so much value in the questions that we were asking and in our ability to help him to kind of see a path to the future that he wanted, that was what was enough in order for us to be hired. So again, I just can't stress enough, it's really about putting all of your attention on how you can be helpful and how you can help your prospect to achieve the outcomes that they want. Sounds simple. I know I'm repeating myself, but that's the magic sauce.
Awesome. Thank you, Bruce. Couple more questions if you have a little time here. Angela, let's see, do I have you still? Yep, still have you on here. Fantastic. Thank you for staying on here. She said she'd be interested in feedback on being a giver versus other input we've received not to give expertise away.
Yeah, I don't know where that, I appreciate that question. At Altus, we give everything away. We have one of our values is abundance. We don't think that it's really that important to kind of be protective of our IP. Our approach is that it's not really about the IP. It's really about, the relationship and about the relationship between and the competence of the person that you're hiring. So we're very free to give away all of our IP and to share everything that we know, just like we're doing right now in this call. We just give it away and we're not worried. There's plenty to go around. That's our approach. And that served us extremely well. And again, the evidence shows that if you get that book that I recommended about give and take, there's plenty of documented evidence about, how people that give kind of reap, the greatest returns.
Very nice. Thank you. All right. A couple more questions. Barbara, thank you for your question. I got that. We have just one other right before that. Tad asks, a suggestion for moves where you sense a negative mood with the other person. They're skeptical and have a closed body.
Mm-hmm. A suggestion is to inquire about it. The suggestion is to say something. You can't just say, I see you're in a bad mood. The question would, you need to say something first, what we call like context, which would be, if it's okay with you, I'm kind of curious about something. As we're talking, I'm noticing that perhaps you might be skeptical or might, have a question. Is that true? Or am I misreading, what I'm seeing right now? Because it's important to me and for our progress, for me to make sure that, that I'm doing my best at listening to what's of value to you. So address those types of things. If I see skepticism or if I see cynicism, I will raise it as an unproductive way for us to move forward together. Not in a make wrong, but in the spirit of, in order for us to get to the future and come up with a mutually successful outcome, I just want to check and see, are you okay with what's happening right now? Because I'm picking up that maybe there's a question that you have, or maybe there's something that I'm saying that's not resonating. So can you elaborate on that? So I do not avoid it. It's very useful, to make sure that you reveal that kind of stuff, because your intuition is probably right most of the time. So check it out. And I haven't really had any negative kind of pushback on that if I'm doing it in a spirit of I'm trying to be helpful to you. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say to that.
Thank you, Bruce. And I'd add, just in how you articulated it, there was some mindfulness in the language that you chose in addressing the skepticism. Mm-hmm. Just using the word skeptical, and you also ask for permission too. So some, you know, just a couple of things that you did there that I think are merit some highlighting.
Yeah, that's great, Chris. Thanks. That's very helpful.
And then the Barbara has a question. She's a self-development coach and a one-woman shop herself. She asks, how can I better sort out my time to court and gain clients along with actually coaching? Basically, well, I make money when I'm coaching. Also, people often seem so short on time they will give you. How in the heck do you take 5 to 6 meetings to gain the client?
Because if you don't, then you are gonna you're not gonna be able to grow your base of business, and you should probably spend at least 20% of your time on thinking about on generating client opportunities, on marketing, on sales. And I think if you don't have that as a standard practice and working on your network of help, as I suggested earlier, and frankly, one of the biggest learnings that's happened to me over the most recent years is that I find that being a part of a community of people where we share opportunities is much, has provided me with many, many more opportunities than I was able to generate by myself. I was able to have a successful solo consulting and coaching practice for a number of years, but the ups and downs called porpoising were always great. I'd be busy on clients and busy on projects, and then I'd have to go look for more. But being a part of some type of a community where you share opportunities has really flattened that out and made my income much more predictable than it's ever been before. So, but two things I'm saying. So one is that it's you can't not spend time doing this. It's essential to your future, depending upon what your goals are for your business, but it's not optional. So you need to figure out you need to do both.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Bruce. That's true. And I'd add to that, just having had my own coaching practice, and Bruce, you can speak to this as well. There's eventually a transition point. You start off where you're doing more marketing and sales. And as you start to produce your identity and the value, just even in these first few meetings with folks, as well as the actual coaching work that you do, you start to develop that identity, that reputation for yourself. And I know a lot of my other colleagues, they've gotten to a point in which people actually start to seek them out. They get referred much more often. So the work becomes less in that domain. It's still there. You always need to be nurturing it, but it starts to transition as you continue to add value to your clients.
Exactly. Well said, Chris. I agree.
Thank you. All right. So I think I got, if there's any other questions, I think we have, folks just chiming in saying thanks. Got it, Tad. Thank you for your comments there. Looks like I think I have all questions asked, but I'll stay on. If you have any other questions or you'd like to actually get on the webinar right now with Bruce, I have just a few more minutes. I'd love to connect with you. I also put my contact information here into the chat. So again, I found this valuable. If you're really committed to taking yourself further in your coaching practices and your ability to develop skills, connect with Bruce and I. We can definitely support you. This is what this is all about. This is about creating community, and as Bruce identified, really giving and providing value up front. That's really the purpose here, and hopefully we stand out for you in that way. Dylan, thank you so much. Love the feedback. Martha, thank you so much. Everyone, thank you so much. Any other questions here? I don't think I've seen any other questions pop in, but please, I'll type them in right away, and I'll stay on for just another minute here with Bruce. I think we have an event. Thank you for joining us. So just for the folks, and it's kind of funny, Bruce, sometimes these folks like to stay on and just see what else might be said, but go ahead and raise your hand if you would like to join in here on the conversation here. Andrea, Bruce, Ciro, Dylan, EJ, thank you for joining. Justin, Yvette, Martha, Tad, thank you all for joining us today. And we look forward to having you join us on our next webinar. We've got both our Leadership Circle webinars and our Coaching Excellence webinars. They are the same day of the week, same time. So that's 10 Mountain, noon Eastern time, excuse me. And we'll be posting our next webinar here shortly in both of the Coaching Excellence and Leadership Circle webinars. To all of you that join, thank you so much. I think this is it, Bruce. It looks like we've answered our questions. Unless you have any other closing comments, my friend.
No, I'm good. Thank you very much. I appreciate everybody's time. I hope that this was valuable to you. And as Chris offered, we're happy to have conversations with anybody who is interested in what we do at Altus, as well as be helpful about how you grow your client base. So thank you very much for your time.
Yeah. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you very much. This has been wonderful. I'm looking forward to taking some of this into my own hands. So thank you. Awesome.
Great. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, everyone. Okay. Have a wonderful rest of your week. We look forward to having you join us next time.